continue our readings in James' epistle, and we start chapter 4 today, which is entitled, Submit Yourselves to God. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'll just say a quick prayer before Jana talks to us about that passage. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Janet's heart to bring each and every one of us here this morning your word. And we just ask that you open our ears and open our hearts to hear through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Lizette. I need that prayer. This is actually my fourth talk in a week, so we do pray God helps me. I have to learn from my very own talks. So last week we were thinking about wisdom from above and worldly wisdom. And this very morning I was writing an email to somebody and I wrote a line and then I thought, and then I deleted it because I thought that's not helpful. That sounds slightly proud or arrogant. Just delete that line. And I had to do it. This morning I was tempted to do something. And again, in comes the thought into my head, don't do that. James is full of this really practical advice. And just to say, I also struggle with the message of James. We've had so much, haven't we, about the use of the tongue. So 2 weeks ago, thinking about how we use our tongues for good or for evil. Last week, we were thinking about wisdom from above, and that contrast with wisdom from below. And today is really the end of that whole section on behavior, on the use of the tongue, that warning today against being worldly, but instead submitting to God. Context is important. James was, we think, the brother of Jesus, and he was the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and he was writing this letter to churches. They were small churches meeting in homes all across the Mediterranean area, Turkey, Cyprus, Greece, and so on. And he's writing this letter to all those small churches. And he's aware, he's like, if you like, a bishop, he's like aware that in these little churches there were arguments going on. I don't know if James received lots of scrolls complaining about what was going on in their churches. These days, people write to the bishop or they send emails to the bishop. Sometimes they may even be slanderous. I remember Wayne Massey, you may know, from Bishopston Church, told me that the decision at Bishopston Parish Church not to allow a yoga group to join to use the church hall provoked so many letters and complaints to the bishops. So today we're going to look at the beginning of James chapter 4. We're looking at, first of all, what is the problem? What is the solution? And what's his final warning? What is the problem? What is the solution? And what's the final warning? The problem comes right at the beginning in verses 1 and 2. The problem is, in these small churches, there was poor behavior. There was fighting. There were quarrels. And this comes straight after the end of chapter 3, where we thought about peacemakers and people who bring about peace. But James, he's received all these complaints, and he says, there are fights and there are quarrels going on. I don't know what they are quarreling about. It could have been something very lofty, like a doctrinal difference. It might have been a social argument over class or who was the greatest. It may have been an argument over the flowers. It may have been an argument over the style of worship. It so often is. And the source of arguments, James says, is inside us. It's what are our desires deep inside us. He says these arguments come from desires battling within you. You desire, but you do not have, and so you kill. That's a bit strong. He's saying we covet, we want things, we're envy, we're jealous. And all those things deep inside us lead to arguments, lead to crimes of evil. But they stem from what's going on deep inside our hearts. The things that you think and feel in your heart can come out in your words and actions. The things I think deep inside me can come out in the way I write an email or the actions that I do. I have to be so careful. And there's a consequence to this problem, James says. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, verse 3, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. So one of the consequences of all these arguments and quarrels is a failure in their prayer life, that time when God seems silent. Either you're not asking God, or you're asking with the wrong motives and your prayers are unanswered, or your prayer life suffers. It is possible to pray in the wrong way. Give me, give me, give me, give me this, give me that. Or pray things that are not according to God's will. Sad to say, if somebody cuts me up on the road or does something bad when I'm driving, I sometimes might wish that they would get their comeuppance. He then goes on and calls them, verse 4, you adulterous people. That is strong language. He's the leader of the church, and he's calling them adulterous. That means unfaithful. But spiritually unfaithful. Do you remember the Old Testament prophets, people like Hosea? They were always going on about, you are unfaithful. Don't you know, he says, friendship with the world means enmity against God. If anyone chooses to be a friend of the world, then you become an enemy of God. We have a choice. Serving God, serving mammon. You cannot serve both. Being friends with the world or friends with God. The world's values are so often incompatible with God's values. The ways of the world are so often different to the ways of God. The world says, do this or that, or, oh, that doesn't matter. I find it interesting that I'm preaching on October the 31st. Halloween gets its name from All Hallows Eve. Tomorrow is All Hallows or All Saints Day, when we remember the saints and remember the good of their lives. And yet what does the world do? It celebrates scaring people, frightening people. I don't know how many of you enjoy watching Strictly Come Dancing. I do, love Strictly Come Dancing. Tell me afterwards who you want to win. But last week was their Halloween special, and for the second year running, on principle, I refused to watch it. I thought, I don't like this. It's glorifying evil. It's glorifying scaring people. The world's ways are incompatible with God's ways. A vicar of a neighbouring parish was telling me about a marriage preparation class he took recently. A couple came to him wanting to be married, and he read through the preface of the service where it says, "The Bible teaches us marriage is a gift of God in creation and a means of his grace, a holy mystery in which man and woman become one flesh." And as the vicar read this out to the couple, they said, "Could you just miss that bit out about the man and the woman? We've got friends coming who'll be really offended if you say that." He said, "No, it's in the liturgy, and you cannot change the liturgy or the doctrine of the Church of England." The world's ways are different from God's ways. And James is really clear. Choose the world or God. Choose who we're friends with. And then in verse 6, it mentions jealousy, but jealousy in a good way. God is jealous in the sense that a jealous husband is really cares for and protects and guards his wife. God is like that really true husband, longing for us to be faithful to him. So the problem is what goes on inside our hearts when we choose to follow the ways of the world, when we make those wrong choices that lead to wrong behavior. And wrong behavior can lead to hostility, to death. Now come to the good news, verse 6, the solution. He gives us more grace. He gives us more grace. And that is why the scripture says, this is a quote from Proverbs 3, verse 34, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. God gives us grace. He shows us grace. He forgives us. But we need to submit to him, to obey him. All pride and arrogance you can trace right back to the devil, to the Garden of Eden, to the serpent, set up in opposition to God. And God says, no, be humble, submit. Resist the devil, saying no to temptation, like I had to do this morning. Just simply saying, no, I'm not going to do that. Turn away, back to God. And then it says one of the most wonderful verses, verse 8. I love this verse. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. God is ready. He's waiting for us. It's like he really wants that deep friendship, that relationship with us. He's standing there with his arms open on the cross, saying, come, come near to me. I don't know if you're familiar with the Holman Hunt painting of The Light of the World, where Jesus is outside a door, but there's no latch on the outside, it's on the inside. And in fact, over where the tables are stored on the right at the back, there's actually a picture in the stained glass window of Jesus at the door. And it's a wonderful picture of Jesus is there waiting for us to come near to him. But the handle is on our side. It's up to us to open the door to let him in. Then James goes on about washing your hands and purifying your hearts. It's like a double cleansing. You wash your hands on the outside, and that cleans all the dirt that you can see. But what about the dirt on the inside? Our hearts need purifying. It's not enough just to wash out your mouth with soap if you say something wrong. It's what's inside as well that needs cleansing. Purify your hearts. And then he talks about grieving and mourning and wailing and not laughing. And I thought, what's all that bit about? It's because at the time, some people were laughing at their sins. They weren't taking them seriously enough. And so James is saying, show real repentance. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. And he will lift you up. So we've had that problem of worldly behaviour, and the solution is in the grace of God, in humility, in submitting to God, choosing to follow God, coming near to God. And that lovely promise, he will come near to you. So let's finish by looking at verses 11 and 12. And guess what? We've got another reminder about the use of the tongue. It does go on about it, doesn't it? But James was a realist. He knew what people were like. And he says, don't slander and don't judge others. Do not slander one another. Don't speak against your brothers and sisters. Don't judge others. Don't judge one another. Some of all those letters that the bishops get complaining about their clergy, sometimes they can be quite slanderous. So again, we're told not to slander, to speak ill of others. And just remember, I said last week, the clergy, the teachers, will be judged more strictly. We have to face God, which is scary. We're called not to judge others. There's only one lawgiver and judge, and that is God. I find it so easy to be judgmental, but I have to stop myself. Leave the judging up to God. Sometimes you might find yourself saying, oh, do you know what's going on? Or did you know what that person did? Or I shouldn't really be saying this, but dot, dot, dot. It's very easy to slip into slander or judgment. So James says, do not be too friendly with the ways of the world. Stand out as Christians. We're called to be different, to behave differently. And people do notice, and they do notice because we're so used to people swearing in this world. They notice when you don't swear. We're used to people who will often lie or say something nasty, and they notice if you don't join in slagging somebody off or lying. People notice the way we behave. They notice our words. Words can destroy, but words can also build up. So the problem, fighting in the churches, was rooted in those worldly desires. And the solution, James says, choose God, submit humbly to him, not to the ways of the world. And remember, don't slander, don't judge others. Words are important. I'd like to finish by just reading verse 8 again. And I'd like us to have a bit of quiet now and just think about verse 8. Because it is a promise. So let's use the quiet now to think, what is God saying to me? What is God asking me to do? Am I choosing to follow him or the ways of the world? Am I submitting myself to God? Am I deleting thoughts or lines or words I want to say? Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, purify your hearts, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for that promise that as we come near to you, you come near to us. And we thank you too that as we humble ourselves before you, you will lift us up. Help us to choose wisely. Help us to choose to follow you and not the ways of the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.